The mission of the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind, the NNAB, to help the 20,000 local people with poor sight to remain independent and confident, and the work it does across the city and county, is quite outstanding. Last year alone, the community workers made almost 7,000 separate visits to people in their homes, and there were more than 6,000 visitors to the equipment centres in Norwich, King's Lynn, Great Yarmouth, Cromer and the Mobile Centre. In Norwich, it has a residential home and supported living flats for those with visual impairment, and the association also has a volunteer presence in all four eye clinics in Norfolk, a busy sports and leisure programme and so much more. The fifth oldest association of its kind in the land, established in 1805, it has played a leading role in so many lives over the years, and the man we have to thank for establishing it in Norwich is a blind ex-ironmonger by the name of Thomas Towle. Thomas, the son of Henry and Mary, was born at Wyndham in 1763. His father was a draper and his mother Mary was a member of the Coleman family. His father died when he was 10, leaving some money in a trust, and one of the trustees was his uncle, Thomas Coleman, an ironmonger in Norwich, which was a line of work young Thomas also took up. It is not clear when Thomas Towle went blind, but by 1804 he was living in the Upper Close in Norwich, from where the institution was launched. We can only imagine the kind of life that most blind people were living then, but in Thomas they found a generous friend. He wrote in 1804, "I have for some time cherished an inclination to attempt, at least, the establishment of an institution for the benefit of the indigent blind in Norfolk and Norwich." Thomas wanted a place which would care for the old and educate the young. This extraordinary man spoke with such passion at the first public meeting held at the Guildhall in Norwich during January of 1805, at a time when life for most without sight was so awful. But he realised that actions, not words, were needed. "I have therefore bought a large, substantial house and 3.5 acres of ground situated in Maglin Street, late the residence of Thomas Havers, Esquire, and I believe at present inhabited by the Right Honourable Lord Bradford," he told the meeting. Generous Thomas also added 1,000 guineas, a gift worth something like £86,000 in today's money. And by the end of 1805, about 250 people had made one-off gifts or agreed to make annual payments. Many did both. A couple of years later, more than 2,000 people were helping to pay for the institution. It illustrated just how caring and generous the people of Norwich and Norfolk can be. The rules and regulations were Spartan in those tough old days. No person to be admitted who has been a common beggar or wandering minstrel or played any instrument at alehouses, one warned, and "every person on admission to bring one complete suit of apparel, as shall be deemed sufficient by the committee, a bed and 1 guinea towards funeral expenses." Various trades were taught, weaving, basket making and the like, followed by shoes, mats and rugs. The menu in the early days, for example, consisted of milk broth for breakfast, apart from Sundays when it was bread and butter. Dinner was meat and dumplings or suet pudding and pea soups, and there was bread and cheese or rice milk for supper. People started work at 6:30 in the morning in the summer and 7 o'clock in winter, and only on Saturdays did finish at 4 o'clock. Times changed over the years. Conditions improved, outings were arranged, and slowly but surely life for those who were blind or who had difficulty in seeing was improving. There was a blind band which played at public events, and outings were arranged. The blind and partially sighted were at last coming out of the shadows. When the association celebrated its 150th anniversary in 1955, acclaimed Norfolk writer Ralph Mottram wrote in the Eastern Daily Press and Evening News, "It might well take for its motto faith, for it never knows what its income will be, hope, for it rightly expects the public to appreciate it, and adaptability." Wise words. We have much to thank Thomas Towle for. He died in June of 1820, but his memory lives on.